The men who wanted to stay, they're still here. And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town for football.
Is the tundra still frozen in April?
If you could get me to go to a draft, Lambeau would be near the top.
That's
near the high of the top of my list.
He said it lived up to it.
Just Lambeau.
Dude, the frozen tundra.
God, that'd be great.
This is a draft week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
Every man must be committed to excellence. Every man must be committed to victory.
The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader 1080. The Fan, good morning. It is a, I hope, happy Tuesday.
What is happening? How could you not be happy when ESPN has had a countdown to the draft on their screen since yesterday? What would I do today if I didn't know that there were 58 hours and 59 minutes until the NFL draft begins?
If you had to power rank what ESPN cares about, the NFL is far and away number one.
Without a doubt this week. It's not even close.
The SEC is number two.
Ooh, SEC football, Nico's story, probably number two.
The NFL draft, number three. Then the NBA.
Yeah.
Then
probably Major League Baseball, then the Stanley Cup.
No, it's the NHL.
I think it's the playoffs.
They told baseball.
That is true. They did tell baseball to go pound sand. And they actually had their broadcasters at the ESPN games last night. So I'll give them credit for that. They were actually on scene.
They were in Winnipeg.
In Winnipeg to call the game. I thought nobody could get to Winnipeg after what TNT did the day other night.
Yeah, I mean, some broadcasters care and some don't.
Yeah, that's the way it works, Bob. That's the way it works. 58 hours, 58 minutes now. We'll give you an update throughout the course of the show today. The countdown is on to the NFL draft.
I don't know if it was awkward, if you guys saw this, but the beginning of that Knicks-Pistons game, they showed McEnroe and Paul Rudd courtside.
Yeah, I did not see that.
With the head of Warner Brothers.
David Zasloff, and they basically showed the three talking, and then Ian Eagle was like, and there's the head of the Warner Brothers studio, Zasloff, who's done an exceptional job. I'm like, he just choked away the NBA off of Turner.
He just lost TNT, the NBA.
We're going to sit. He had one of the dumbest comments. We don't care about basketball. And then he was like, oh, I care about basketball.
Wait, this is the only reason people come to our channel outside of the NCAA tournament? It's reruns of Charmed or this? This is what I got, and now I'm out of that. And I'm losing Inside the NBA, where Shaq may or may not have crapped his pants on live TV.
Boy, that's... that was something.
That was a hell of a scene last night. The sports were sportsin' last night. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I thought both NBA games were good. The Stanley Cup playoffs were outstanding last
night. Stanley Cup playoffs
were bananas. Oh, they were electric.
They were electric. How could you miss it? And Shaq crapped his pants on live TV, and they killed Billy Ray Bates.
Billy Ray Bates did die last
Billy
night.
Billy Ray Bates died.
Yeah, but he's
and
back
was,
to life.
They brought him back.
In the spirit of Easter, he is risen from his death on Inside
How
the NBA.
Yeah, how dare they?
Swag's all-time favorite Blazer.
I loved Billy
That's
Ray
a low
Bates.
Blow that just is not going to be allowed around here.
Every show in America.
We've all done it.
Kills somebody at some point.
We've all done it.
Only to come back and be like,
happens
actually.
To the best of them.
It's like, wait a minute. Are we sure he's dead right now? I don't think so.
Didn't we just kill somebody the other day?
We did.
I can't remember what show or who it was.
I think it was me.
I think Swag killed somebody.
And I was, yeah.
Was it...
who was it?
Nike guy. We did the book. We talked about the book. Air. Why am I blanking on his
Sonny
name?
Vaccaro.
Sonny Vaccaro. I think pretty sure Swag killed Sonny Vaccaro.
That was me.
And then I think the response immediately was, wait a minute. I think he's still alive. I think he's still alive.
I was pretty confident he was still alive.
Pretty sure he's still alive. Yeah. And then we Googled it and found out, indeed, he was still alive.
Well, you remember when we had Armin Katayan on, who wrote the book on Sonny Vaccaro?
Yes.
He played audio of an interview he did with Sonny Vaccaro, and it was like 4 months ago. So when he said that, I was like, what?
That was at the end of 2024. He was still here. That was Christmas time.
You know, somebody I used to kind of kill off in my mind. You know, you don't mean these things in a mean way.
You haven't seen him in a while. You're not sure what's going on.
Bob Barker might have been dead four different times in my mind.
Yeah, Bob Barker lasted a long time.
Because once he was done with the show, he was done
that
with
was
the
it.
Business.
He was
out.
He went Johnny Carson. When I retire, you're not going to see me anymore.
I know it's going to be a much bigger deal because of his status at one point of his life, but this is a little bit of Joe Biden.
Yeah, there's something.
Like,
there.
If I don't hear anything in 2 years, I'm just going to kind of naturally forget.
Just assume. Yeah. I mean, I kind of already there, kind of already thinking that. Oh. Did you see their Easter picture, by the way?
Okay. It's uncomfortable.
It's a little weird.
Whoever's running that social media account, uncomfortable.
They had an Easter picture with a family together, and he is 100% Photoshopped in that photo.
Really?
Dude, go look.
Is it on his main account?
It's on his main account. Go look. Happy Easter to all. Everybody's in like normal Easter clothes, sitting on stairs, and then he's in the background in
a
suit.
He tweets.
And he's in a suit, and he's in a standing position, but he's at the top of the stairway. And it's like, that's not, he's 100% Photoshopped in that picture, which is...
No, he's in it.
Dude, he's not in it. He's not sitting. He's at the top of the stairs. That is not...
His hand is on the back of, a grandson's neck.
Where are his legs? Show me where his legs are. Did he cut a hole? He's crouching down at 97 years old. That man can't crouch down. He can barely walk.
I think he's like 82.
He can't... There's no crouch. He's not getting into a catcher's pose. He's not going knee on the ground, taking balls in the dirt.
What if this was Photoshopped?
I just don't get what the need is for that. Like, you don't need to have a social media post for Easter.
Dude,
he's done. His career's over. Why do we need it? Hey, happy. Thank you for wishing me a happy Easter, politician.
I don't know. Why does J.D. Vance wear eyeliner? I don't know.
I wouldn't have had a good Easter if I didn't get a happy Easter wish from my
Why is Nancy Pelosi stock trading? I don't know.
I don't know, man.
These people don't care about actually helping anybody.
I'm pretty sure he's Photoshopped in that picture. That's it.
Well, we're 100% confident he's not tweeting from his account.
Well, he definitely does not tweet.
Like, who tweets? He's got handlers for
He's
that.
Got people.
Jill and I are disgusted by the attacks of the Shapiro family in their home during the night of Passover. Joe Biden's not running to his laptop and typing that out.
Oh, I got
to
tweet that out. Got my thoughts ready to go. Fire them away.
Jill.
Beep, 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 beep.
I got a tweet.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Joe Biden's never said that out loud.
I got a tweet.
I got a tweet.
I got tweets. Corn pop. Back in Scranton. Joey! Joey!
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It's going to be a nice day today.
Were you guys excited about your hockey? I saw Ovechkin had a game winner against the Canadiens.
Hard to believe. First time he's had an overtime winner in a Stanley Cup playoff game in 20 seasons.
20 years, yeah.
And they've gone to the playoffs a lot. A
lot of playoff appearances.
How many overtime games have they been in?
It's a great trivia question.
40-something he's been in.
Wow. And that was his first
one?
That
was his first overtime winner.
There you go.
Yeah, the game that a lot of people gave up on was Edmonton-LA at the end of the night.
Yeah, that was 4-1 going into the third period. It ended up being 6-5.
Connor McDavid did his thing.
Connor McJesus did Connor McJesus things.
So he didn't.
They ended up losing, yeah.
Well, he doesn't play defense.
You can't play goalie.
In the NBA, I'm told that the best player, do your thing. Have a clutch gene. Win the game.
Are we going win-loss stat? Not a quarterback thing? Not a star NHL player thing?
How many players are on the ice at one time for a team?
Five.
Not counting the goalie.
Not
counting
the skaters and a goalie.
Five skaters and a goalie?
Yes. Three forwards, two defensemen.
Get a better clutch gene. Get back, play defense. Why don't we start doing this to hockey players?
Cam maybe passed up the game-winning shot. Didn't take it. Nope. Didn't want that puck in the crunch time.
Can I tell you guys a truth bomb? I'm watching that Nugget-Clipper game. Like, I am just in Valhalla. It's just unbelievable.
That was a great playoff game.
And I'm watching this, and the game ends, and I'm not going to lie. These damn television shows have done it. In my mind, for about a second and a half, I went, come on, man. You got to be clutch.
When Jokic turned it over.
He was pretty bad at the end of that game.
He was. He was not great.
But, that was
overall,
my takeaway.
He wasn't at the peak of his powers last night. And he did turn it over in the final possession. And then they still ended up getting multiple good looks.
Well, but
they still had, two or three shots on that last possession.
I ask you this. In a sport, in a league, largely black, how many white players are ever in a position to be criticized? European or not, how many players?
Yeah, there's not a lot of them. There's not a lot of them.
He's one of the very few that is so important to his team.
Oh, yeah.
That if Jokic is a Johnson and he's black, it's probably a lead story that he choked last night.
Probably.
But he's a Jokic. He's a little boring.
Well, he also won a title 2 years ago. So how long is the statute
of limitations? We're killing Giannis now. Giannis is having Shaq numbers, and it's like, his team sucks. He should be better.
That's just stupid. People are stupid.
Well, I'm just telling you what the narratives are.
We shouldn't be doing any of that.
And Giannis is from Greece.
Why do we have a statute of limitations on championships now? It's no longer good enough just to win. You got to win every year. And if you don't win every year, you're a bum. Is that where we're at now? It's let alone not winning at all?
Well, that was my takeaway going into the Masters, I understood, and Rory clearly cared, but the dude had four titles, and we acted as if he hadn't accomplished anything.
Yeah, I finally got to confront Joe Fisher about that on Friday at the company party. I hadn't said anything to him. I let it brew. Let it simmer for a week.
He should have been coming to us.
He had to. I made him. He sheepishly came over to me.
Tuesday, and like, yeah. I'm sorry.
I apologize. I'm an idiot.
Like, I honestly don't want to see another text about Rory the rest of his career.
No.
Career Grand Slam, sixth player to do that?
He walked up with a sheepish look and said, well, I guess you were right. I was like, you're damn right I was right, Joe. You're damn right I was. And then he said, well, it's about damn time. I said, about damn time for what? Him to win his fifth major? To win a career Grand Slam? It's not Phil Mickelson. He's won before. Yeah. Does that not count for anything anymore?
What did he say?
Because it happened. Well, it's been 11 years. Yeah, who cares? He's only 35. I said, what are you going to do if he wins three in a row? I said, he said, that's not going to happen. I said, okay, what are you going to say if it does?
That's just such an odd position to take. Like,
why?
Well, you were right. Okay, but I was right about what? Telling you a great golfer is exactly. Great at golf?
He's won a lot of tournaments over the last 10 years. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. He's
what a hot take by Dirt.
He's had a lot
Rory's
of cracks.
Great at golf.
He's great.
He's going to probably win another major.
I went on and said, he's probably the favorite. He could very easily win, well, not
Yeah,
easily,
Dirt outlined the majors.
Three.
Yeah.
Because it's at Quail Hollow at PGA where he's won four times previously.
Yep.
And then the Open Championships in his backyard at Royal Portrush.
Even the U.S. Open is at a course where if you're a bomber of the golf ball,
yeah,
you will be
rewarded.
He's
only played there once and he missed the cut. Yeah. So he doesn't have a lot of history at that course.
Now, the Open Championship's in his backyard.
Yeah, that's at Royal Portrush.
It's in Northern Ireland, man.
The U.S. Open is at Oakmont up in Pennsylvania.
Like, there's a part of me that I'm sitting here with this discussion where I'm like, I rail against this. This whole, like, well, the star had 30-some points and had four bad plays, so it's his fault his team lost. When I look at that roster... But I'm also on the other side where players I've liked for a long time, they get that.
They do.
But he doesn't. Unless it's Kendrick Perkins. But nobody takes Kendrick Perkins seriously.
No, nobody takes him seriously.
So like
nobody cares what Kendrick Perkins has to say.
There's a little bit of part of me that wants the lead today to be like, Jokic clutch gene ? On the graphic.
Has
on the
he lost it? He had 2 years. He had the clutch gene. Now it's gone.
But just because I have to see this day to day with like seven other NBA players.
It's so stupid. I don't know why we have to do this in sports.
Wait for the Thunder to lose in the second or Western Conference Finals.
Oh,
and it's going to be SGA, really a leader?
He's not the guy. He's not. Can he lead a team to a championship? I don't think he can. He's only 22 years old. And he's an MVP of the league. I don't think he can do it, man.
God.
I don't think he can get there.
Ridiculous.
You know, there's a more nuanced way to talk about sports than clutch jeans and, you know, did somebody who had a triple-double in a playoff game choke?
Happy birthday to Jack Nicholson, 88 years old.
88?
Wow.
Talk about somebody that people might accidentally be killing off in their lives.
He's still hanging around. I feel like we're going to see him every once in a while.
He doesn't
I know, they
anymore.
Don't see him at Laker games anymore.
Does he not go to Laker games anymore?
Not as
Very
much.
Rarely.
He'll go to like once a year.
Assumed he did. Well, now we're not going to see him anymore.
He's like, he's got cane. He needs a cane to walk around now.
Yeah. I mean, you're near the finish line.
That's going to be a sad one for me.
That's going to be a really sad one.
He was one of the first movie stars I was introduced to in my life.
I always do that whenever somebody dies. You always dive into their catalog, whether it be a musician or a actor. I've done that with Val Kilmer the last couple of weeks. Like Tombstone was on Amazon Prime the other night. And I was like, all right, we're going to watch Tombstone. I haven't seen it in a couple of years.
Wish I could watch that.
Phenomenal movie. Just give your money to the devil. It's very easy to do. It's only like $19.99 a month, or I actually don't even know how much it is because it just comes out every month.
NFL and NBA will be back next year, and I'll be stuck going, damn it.
You can't watch the Panthers and the Falcons? What the hell's the matter? We're going to talk about that for an hour on Friday.
I'm more worried about
Take your
NBA
job
games.
Seriously.
I want to see the NBA games.
Yeah, the NBA. And they're going to be on Peacock, too. You know they're going to put a ton of games on Peacock because Peacock is hemorrhaging money, and they need all the eyeballs they can get.
Make good shows.
I mean, that would help. You know, not just office reruns. That
I can't
would
name a show on the Peacock network.
Neither can I. I think they just air things that have already been aired.
Apple TV is killing it.
Yeah,
right
they're
now.
Probably. I think it's more like the SNL archive on Peacock and stuff like that that people go seek out.
Yeah, I can go on YouTube and find
You can find
That's
anything you want. Go watch 30 Rock. Yeah, I did 10 years ago. Already seen the show. Give me something new, all right?
What are Those we also rerun on cable.
All the time.
All the
Premier
time.
Premier League Soccer not holding it up for the old Peacock there.
No, I don't want to watch those.
I'm not up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. I don't want to wake up that early.
Leicester and...
They got relegated.
Leicester got relegated.
Queens Rangers. Queens Park Rangers.
But to the point of catalogs, when Jack passes, that'll be one you dive in. That'll be one where you remember, like, God, he had so many bangers over the years.
Let me ask you, what is your favorite role of his?
Oh, God.
Let's get ahead of his death.
Ahead of it. Do the funeral now. pay our homage to him before he passes?
What is the one role with him that just stands out a little more than all the others?
Boy. Colonel Jessup's hard to...
Really?
I love that movie. But
you love that movie? Oh, yeah, that I find that movie great. Rather boring until the key dialogue parts.
No, there's a lot of stuff going on. But
guys died. We're walking around a military naval base. And
I mean, how can we forget Mars Attacks? That might be my go-to.
The Joker.
Yeah?
I think I have to go The Departed. I'm looking through his catalog. I think I got to go The Departed. I think I go The Departed. I love that movie to begin with. Don't watch it very often because it's very long. It's one where you got to commit like half a Saturday. The Shining is great, but I think Shining's I'd rather great. Watch The Departed over that.
As Good as It Gets.
As Good as It Gets is a good movie.
As Good as It Gets is mine. He is.
Chinatown's kind of an underrated movie.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a pretty good one.
What a catalog. Just scrolling through his movies, it's wild.
There's movies you forget about.
There's a ton that you forget about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Final Answer, The Departed. That's what I would watch.
Mm.
Some of the stories about him in that movie, too, are wild. Of, like, him trying to actually intimidate actors and the scene where he pulls a gun on Leo and they're in the coffee shop or whatever when he thinks he's the rat, he pulled an actual gun on him because he wanted to see the fearful reaction. Like, that wasn't in the script. He pulled a gun on him in the scene. Basically just kept going, and Leo had to go with the flow.
He is somebody, he's pretty wild.
Pretty crazy dude.
He's an interesting cat.
He's got a couple of screws loose up there.
Well, I think you kind of have to do that job.
I think so, too.
You're an artsy-fartsy guy. You got to get lost into different characters. I think you got to be a little weird to be
He's definitely artsy-fartsy.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Happy birthday, 88.
88 years young.
Does he get to 90?
Yeah, why not? Let's not kill him off yet. He's got two more years in him.
Yes is a plus 250.
I like those odds. I'll take those odds.
No is a plus 120.
He's got Luka Doncic now on his favorite basketball team. I think that's a driving force for him for another 2 years. See what the Lakers can do.
Get one more title before
one
he,
more title in the next 2 years.
Goes to the upper room.
And then say, see you later. It was a great run.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. Sports was sports, and as Dirt said, we got the Mail Sack. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. And then we got Ian Furness at 7:30.
7:30, yes.
Okay, 7:30, Daily Ticker, Ian Furness. What will the Seahawks do with their NFL draft pick? The Seattle Mariners, we buying what's happening right now with the old M's?
I mean, yeah, how could you not? This is their year.
And is Seattle going to get an NBA team announced this summer? So we'll talk with Ian Furness coming up, 7:30, Daily Ticker. Dirt and Sprague, it is good to be with you. Let's get it going next on The Fan.
Safe to say I'm the biggest. The largest. Been stepping up because my mama stayed in them apartments. Regardless.
You guys want Wingstop?
I mean, it doesn't sound terrible right now. I could pound some wings at 6:20. Don't challenge me.
Never turn down wings.
I never turn down wings.
So this commercial, this is becoming the T-Mobile
SGA the new one.
Chet commercial now, right? It's playing every break. It's Jalen Green eating a wing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering every time I see him.
I'm the biggest. I'm the largest.
How many people in America have no idea who that player is?
I would say a large portion of the country.
And how many people within Wingstop are nervous that they're going to lose in five and he's doing largely nothing?
They need a win. They need a game two win badly. And a big game two. From Jalen Green. I think the first 10 times I saw the ad, I didn't click to me who the hell it was. I thought it was just a random guy eating wings.
You didn't say tall-looking guy eating a wing, signing autographs?
Normal-looking dude,
props
signing
to Jalen
wings.
Green's agent for
he
making
got
that
deal.
Happen.
I didn't know he was Wingstop material. I was pretty impressed by that.
This song has been stuck in my head for 2 weeks.
Just can't get it out.
I'm just like literally doing chores by myself during the day, and
start
I'm like,
singing.
I'm a beast. I'm the largest.
I don't even know who this is. Who is this?
You know, Big Extra Plug.
Big Extra Plug?
I think so.
Is the name of the...
I don't know. You know what? Don't quote
He's a Big Extra Plug.
It's Big X-T-A, X-T-H-A Plug.
Okay.
I'm not up to date on current music.
That's a Big Extra Plug. I like that.
I don't know.
I listen to the same songs from like 15 years ago, man.
I do. I need to update my catalog a little bit. I don't have enough new music in there. Then I find myself like listening to stuff and I'm like, I'm not in the mood for this. And I'm not sure what I'm in the mood for. I need new artists. Maybe Big Extra Plug will be my guy.
Well, all my new music is like Pink Pony Club by Chapel Roan. I have two daughters. And I'm like literally in the car singing along
with her. That's true. But most car music for me now is like, I'll be a drag queen who moves west. You're damn right. Let's turn on the Elmo album. I'm Elmo. That's what I'm listening to in a car right now. Or a Bluey theme song just to get the kid to not freak out.
Okay. We have a listener question. I actually want to get to an early mail sack. I want to get to it. I'm going to ask you guys. And the Clipper Nugget game was extraordinary. We had some awful news happen to us.
A little sack tease here early in the show.
A little bit of a sack preview. Okay?
Early sack on the day.
But before I get to that, I wanted to revisit the Shaq leaving live on air situation. So if you missed this on TNT,
I missed that.
Yeah. So let me lay this out. They're live back at the studio. There's Kenny, Ernie, Chuck and Shaq, right?
So is this in between games?
I think this was at the end of the night. I think it was post game after. I turned it on. I didn't see it live.
This was like
the game
right was over.
They've been there for 6-7 hours.
Yeah, they've been there.
Eating too much Wingstop.
So they're there, and they're hanging out, and all of a sudden, Shaq just basically indicates, I gotta go. So Shaq gets up on live television.
Middle of a segment.
And he starts doing the walk. We all know it's like the clinched walk of got to kind of shuffle, jog, walk, kind of get my way there. And he's on live TV and the camera's kind of following him. And he goes through a big door and then they go back to the studio and they're just making fun of him. Like, oh my God, like Kendall. And you know, I see this and like all I'm thinking about, aside from just how hysterical it is that on live television, Shaq has to take a dump.
We've all been there.
Yeah, like you can get away with it though. Dirt gets screwed.
Yeah.
Dirt has to wait till the commercial break.
That's my biggest fear doing play by play.
Is having to take a dump in the middle of it. Yeah.
It's like I can throw in an extra commercial break if I need to. You know,
go at halftime or something. You can cut in a quarter if you need to, but in the middle of a game.
But if I'm
fourth quarter, 5 minutes to go.
Very careful about how far out in front of the game I eat, what I eat. It's like that's my biggest fear.
Yeah, you gotta know what makes your stomach upset.
Exactly.
Not even test the limits of it.
I take a pregamer before everything I do in life.
Yeah.
Everything I do.
That's accurate.
Am I playing golf? Am I hosting a radio show? Am I going for a walk? Whatever I do in life, I'm making sure I'm taken care of.
So this is where I was thinking. Regular toilet? Or does Shaq get a custom toilet?
No chance he fits on a regular toilet. That has to be so uncomfortable.
They have to have something. Especially, I mean, Charles isn't small either.
So. Massive human
being. But he's like 6'5". Now because he's shrunk.
Yeah, but he's 350.
He's a big boy.
Well, I don't think it's a weight problem with toilets. I'm just talking about the circumference of a toilet.
Yeah, there's no chance he can poop on a normal toilet. He has to
have larger toilets. Plus, there has to be something that's raised up higher, too. He can't.
I mean, imagine seeing Shaq on a regular toilet.
Yeah. On a regular toilet. It's just not.
I don't think it physically
works. An SNL bit, is what that is.
I feel kind of big on a toilet sometimes. Just I'll be on a toilet.
It's like it would be like putting him on like a toy toilet in a dollhouse,
like Buddy the Elf,
something.
Will Ferrell up at the North Pole.
That's one of those toilets.
It has to be like that.
He's sitting
right
in one of those stalls where his knees are like up to his head because he has to crouch down so far.
So do you custom build a toilet for Shaq?
I mean, that's, if you're a good agent, that's in your deal.
Toilets.com?
I'm going to imagine, especially a studio like that where you've got.
It'd be great if that was the website.
XLToilets.com?
XLToilets.com. Where do you go to get your toilet, Shaq? XLToilets.com.
Well, then who would you contact and be like, we need extra porcelain?
I mean, there's got to be somebody. Just go buy an extra toilet. I bet his agent negotiated that deal. If I'm coming in there for, because he does he's the only one of the guys that does the Tuesday nights too.
Yeah.
He does Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I'm going to be there twice a week for long stretches of time. You're getting a toilet that's the adequate size for me. Even I have this sometimes. Like there are different size toilets. You ever poop on like a smaller size toilet that's not in a good spot? It's a really uncomfortable feeling.
I literally just found a Reddit page.
They're large toilets?
No, it says, can Shaq use a normal-sized toilet? 7 years ago.
And did somebody do a full investigation of this?
It's like 180 comments.
I mean, at this point, I'm kind of curious, just like the visual of it. Like the side-by-side, him sitting on, how weird does a normal-sized toilet look when he's sitting on it?
This guy says, I'm 6'5", 338, I take 4 a day. And I'm a little uncomfortable on a regular toilet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're just a generally large human being, it's uncomfortable. But let alone, 7 foot, how big is Shaq?
He's like 7'1".
7'1", 3, whatever.
He's got to be over 300 pounds. Has to be.
I did see Ian Carmel, our local, national comedic celebrity. He quote tweeted this and was like, I know an Ozempic S when I see one.
I gotta go.
Because I guess Ozempic just clears you right out.
So that's how you lose weight on Ozempic. It just makes you crap everything out.
It makes you also not want to eat as much.
So you poop everything and you lose your appetite.
A little bit, yeah.
Hell of a way to lose weight.
You know,
right
to be
there.
Fair, they're finding really positive study results from Ozempic.
Okay, all positive so far. Nobody's like losing their liver yet.
No, we haven't turned into zombies yet.
Kidney failure hasn't happened.
It's not the Last of Us.
We don't have a Last of Us situation on our hands.
Bunch of skinny zombies screaming at us.
Barnacles growing on your head. All right, that's good to know. There's hope in my future.
I mean, is anybody else as curious about this Shaq and his toilet situation?
I've been watching TV for a long time. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody live on TV have to poop while live on TV.
But what does he do when he travels?
I don't know.
You can't take a toilet with you.
No, you can't.
So if he goes to like Vietnam, I went to Vietnam, man.
Tiny toilets.
Not a lot of 7-footers in Vietnam.
I felt like I was 7'1 on a couple of them things.
Tiny toilets.
So, like, what does Shaq do?
Why are my knees so high right now? They're up to my shoulders.
That's got to be, I'm going to say this with, like, a lot of irrational confidence. That's got to be the most underrated, awful part of being his size.
Yeah, without a doubt. I would say finding clothes that fit, pooping, and then, like, travel situations if you're not rich. Like, if you have to sit in a normal airplane seat.
He's flying private.
I'm saying if you're not Shaq status, like, say you're a random 7-footer that didn't have any basketball skills, which every time you see somebody that big, you're like, how'd you not play basketball? Just go out there and stand and grab a rebound. You could have had a 5-year career in the NBA. That has to be really uncomfortable. Sitting in stadium seats, sitting in an airplane, none of that stuff fits.
I feel terrible for him.
I do, too. I feel bad for the toilet, too.
That poor toilet. It's not alive.
So. I mean, you know, could be. You never know. It's got feelings.
Not again!
We have an early mail sack question I want to ask you two about, so we'll get to that coming up. We got an interesting college football note yesterday. The Trailblazers had some more bad luck happen to them.
I'm shocked.
How about the state of Oregon and the city of Portland not be involved in any coin flip scenarios
ever again? If we ever get involved in a coin flip, just say no. We're not showing up.
It just never goes our way.
We don't want to do the coin flip.
So we'll get to that at the top of the hour. And we got Ian Furness at 7:30. Durant's Break back with more. We will get to the Blazer news. We got to talk about that Clipper-Nugget game last night. God, that was great.
Phenomenal game. It's delivered. First two games of the series have been awesome.
Best series, not even close.
Not even close.
Pistons-Knicks was, I might have been way wrong on that one, because Pistons could have an argument to be up 2-0 right now.
Good run in the fourth quarter of Game 1 doomed them. That was a really solid performance bounce back for a young team without a lot of playoff experience.
I will, I want to give you guys some airtime today. I know it's a shorter segment, but, you know, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are happening.
We'll cup check it.
Yeah.
Last night delivered.
Last night was
awesome.
So I had this question from one of our listeners, and it was like, from a historical perspective, how would you rank Bettman as a commissioner? He worked on subtle rule changes to increase scoring and encourage players to decrease on ice altercations, and 72 years, then they're asking who would replace him. How are we viewing Bettman? Is he still like garbage, or are we adjusting? Because commissioners are like up and down, right? They're a little bit like a stock, and it's Silver comes out. Bam, everybody's buying stock. And then the league, after a couple years, people were like, well, I don't know about this guy, man. He's no David Stern, and now his stock craters. And then it goes back up, hey, the IST.
Well, what are we tinkering with the All-Star game for? This guy's an idiot.
Just saying, like Bettman.
I think Bettman's gotten a lot better as time has gone on. And I think part of that is he came from the NBA, if I remember correctly. He was not raised up in the hockey culture. And so initially that was like, why are we importing somebody that isn't born and bred out of hockey culture? But I think he's embraced it a lot more. I don't think he is reviled as he was certainly right after the last lockout they had.
I mean, anytime a lockout happens, the commissioner is going to be booed loudly. And he is still booed. Like, whoever wins the Stanley Cup,
I think that's
when
part
he
of
walks
the
out
schtick
there, they're
now,
just going to boo
though.
The hell out of him. I look.
He's not the worst.
He's not the worst.
Who's the worst?
See, that's when
you can't say Manfred, and I know he should be it, but you can.
Michael Scott's done some pretty good things.
Yeah.
Michael Scott's got a couple of dubs on his books.
Silver just got $76 billion.
The thing that I'll say about
Gary
Bettman.
That's how he's judged.
He's had a lot of whiffs in his career. He's had some hits, like any commissioner is going to, right? Like, nobody's going to have a perfect record. The biggest question that I have for them, and this will be, and I think last night again it was on display, and I bitch about this constantly in professional sports. It's embarrassing for leagues to have situations in cities with teams that don't care and owners that are bad. Like, it's just a really bad look for your league. You're a professional sports league. The A's are playing in a minor league stadium, and Tampa, who still can't get a deal done, is playing at a spring training facility. Go look at the crowds in Pittsburgh this year. Go look at the crowds in Miami this year. They're horrible. Nobody's there. Those kind of situations, to me, I look at them and they downgrade you a little bit as an owner. Not that that's ultimately in your control, but while I'll connect this back to Bettman. Mm-hmm. Like, the scene in, I don't know if you watched any of the Winnipeg game last night. They won again. They're up 2-0. Winnipeg's had a great story. They might have the best goalie in all of hockey this year.
Look at the Jets. Yeah.
That the arena, the atmosphere, it's a sellout. There's thousands of people out front of the stadium. It is everything to that city. That city lost a team. Mm-hmm. Atlanta is where they came from. And if you go back and look at attendance numbers in Atlanta, Nobody cared, nobody watched, nobody followed, nobody talked about it in
Which
that city.
Which is why I'm fascinated they're flirting.
And this Atlanta is where my biggest question with Gary Bettman is. Are you just going to chase, hey, Coca-Cola's there, and that's big corporate money, and we'll sell some season tickets? Or are you going to chase actual markets that will care and support your league? Seattle has been an unbelievable home run for the NHL.
The last two expansions have
Vegas
been
has
home
been
runs.
Unbelievable. Are you going to really go back into Atlanta? Are you really going to go back into Phoenix now that they lost their team after nobody cared, watched, or followed them for basically 20 years? Or are you going to follow that blueprint of Winnipeg's been a grand slam since they got a team back, Seattle has been incredible, and Vegas has been incredible? To me, that will be he's up there. I don't know how much longer. He did, by the way, come from the NBA. He was the head counsel.
Well, what other markets are in the running?
Hamilton, Ontario has been bandied about for years. They could use another Canadian franchise, which is the second biggest city in Ontario after Toronto.
Okay. Yeah. Any U.S. market?
If we ever had Phoenix? A different owner of the NBA team here.
We're not having it.
I mean, we might have a different
owner. So the question in Arizona.
Literally have to sell.
I don't think they do.
They do.
I'm
they
at this point where I.
Adam Silver said it. They have to sell. I believe Adam Silver. Okay? He didn't lie to me.
I think the question in Arizona is if there's different management.
There's no question. That's a failed market. Why would you go back to a failed market? That doesn't make business sense.
Yeah, no. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of them are Canadian cities, which I'm okay with, because they should go to places where the teams are going to be supported and cared about, not to cities where you just are chasing corporate dollars. Like Quebec City, I think would be awesome. Milwaukee, I'm sure, is a potential for expansion that always gets bantied about. Portland will show up on lists like this. Kansas City, I think, would kill
Kansas
as an
City
NHL
has
market.
An arena ready Kansas to go.
Indianapolis, I think, would be a good hockey town. They support most of their teams. Like, there are examples here where you can go to places. Mm-hmm. And get good support. But if you end up back, if you go to Houston, Houston's one of the cities going after this.
Was Utah a smash success for them year one?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, from everything that I saw from the attendance numbers, the people following it, it was, the arena's not a great hockey arena. That was the irony of them going there, is it wasn't an arena that was built for hockey. And so the sight lines and the seating angles are a little bit strange. If you go to Houston, Atlanta, New Orleans, Phoenix,
Dude, warm weather climates just, they don't
It's
really
just not happening. Like, there
Houston
are rare examples.
Might work. Houston's had an AHL team for a long time that I think is fairly well supported.
Yeah.
I just think there's enough of a population base there where...
Yeah, I look at expansions in cities where you already have an NHL team, which is a huge deal in Houston. And the Rockets, you know, I mean, let's be fair. They've had a hell of a 20-year run here with multiple iterations of stars. And they have the number two seed in the West this year. Texans have been decent, right? And they got C.J. Stroud now, and it's just, I would look at that and say, we will never, and the Astros, by the way, have won multiple World Series, right? We can make fun of them banging trash cans, but they're a very well-run organization who's essentially in the playoffs every year. You're never going to be higher than fourth banana in that city, ever.
Well, are the Stars higher than fourth banana in Dallas?
No, but it took a long time to get there, and they won a Stanley Cup in the late 90s, yeah, which helped. And so winning will ultimately kind of get you over that hump. But if you don't win a Stanley Cup,
That was the Panthers kind of in South Florida for a long time.
For a long time,
fourth,
yeah,
fifth banana.
Yeah. I mean, the Marlins are, nobody cares about the Marlins.
Nobody cares about the Marlins. Marlins don't even care about the Marlins.
I mean, Miami doesn't really care about sports in general.
They're not very passionate.
They go when you're good. If you're, yeah, good, we'll go. And the Panthers happen to be good right now.
So the hockey was hockeying last night, huh?
That was awesome, dude. Big time hockey last night.
It was awesome. Edmonton coming back from down 5-2 and then giving up a goal 90 seconds later.
Coming back from being down to the Avalanche, evening that series up.
Awesome. And then somehow the Canadiens forcing overtime with Washington a huge lopsided matchup, and then Ovechkin scoring a game winner. Three great games last night.
History was made in the association last night. I'll tell you how next on The Fan. Well, it sounds crazy to say it out loud. We all kind of knew it. Yesterday, the Detroit Pistons won their first playoff game in 17 years.
Well done, Detroit. Well done.
17 years.
Not series.
No.
Game.
Playoff game.
Game.
I think they've been swept four consecutive times.
Play the fun game of 17 years ago. I was 19 years old.
Glad you can do math.
19 years old.
Yeah. 21.
21.
Boost.
Boom.
That's just...
Paxton was seven.
We talk about the Pistons from time to time.
Sorry.
Especially in this market, we like to tout the 2004 Pistons. Well, yeah, that's Pistons team to have a superstar either, Sprague. They win the title.
Yeah.
All right. Well. 17 years without winning a playoff game.
Pretty remarkable. That's a long drought for a fan base to go through. Happy for the fans of Detroit. Detroit basketball. They're back.
I'd be interesting to go back 17 years and see all of the mistakes they have made to go from being one of the more respected NBA franchises
to irrelevancy,
absolute bottom barrel irrelevancy until they got Cade Cunningham last night. He was awesome. He scored 33 points. He had 12 boards.
Where was he drafted?
Number one.
Okay,
check him. He was number one pick. We'll get to the pick stuff.
Just checking on that.
Here was Cade Cunningham in the postgame on his approach to game two.
Just be aggressive and take what they give me. Start with being aggressive and see how they want to guard it from there. And then, I felt like a lot of times it was making a play to JD or whoever to make the next play. It was just what the game gave me. I wasn't really trying to look for anything in particular, just, be aggressive, play hard.
I mean, look, he wasn't spectacular in game one, but they could make a real claim that if there's not this historic 20+0 run, they win game one. And so they could be up 2-0, but they're at least going to go back to Detroit. I'm very curious to watch the atmosphere in Detroit. There's been reason for them to be great fans.
No.
Until this season.
Now they finally have it. And they got a tied series with the Knicks coming to town.
And the Knicks just, I mean, we can get to the Knicks. The Knicks just, what are the Knicks?
Yeah, I mean, that's a team that has spent a lot in terms of capital and money to put this roster together. And if they lose in the first round, I mean, we talked about this going into the playoffs. They are one of the teams that has the most pressure on them in the first round, considering the moves that they made in the offseason. For Carl Anthony Townsend, what was it, 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges?
5 first for Bridges.
Oopsies! I would say for the Pistons, looking through their draft history, where it all went wrong was taking Darko Milicic, 2nd overall, and one of the best drafts in the history of the NBA.
It started there.
We didn't need anybody else. We already have a title-winning team. Who needs Carmelo Anthony or Dwayne Wade drafted after that? Wasn't Bosch in that draft, too? Like, that's literally one of the best drafts in NBA history, and they took a guy who played 7 games in his NBA career.
Yeah.
Looking through the rest of their first-round picks after that, it's a really funny walk down memory lane. There's a Rodney Stuckey in there at 15.
Rodney Stuckey, the pride of Eastern Washington.
Pride of Eastern Washington.
Yes.
I thought he was going to be legit.
We have Austin Dave, 15th overall pick from Gonzaga.
Yes.
Remember him?
Yeah, I remember that.
Greg Monroe, 7th overall pick in 2010.
Yeah, I always called him Greg Oden Light.
Brandon Knight, 8th overall pick from Kentucky.
He, basically, his career was over the minute DeAndre Jordan just absolutely murdered him on an alley-oop.
Yeah, it was it. It's over. It's over from that point. KCP was the eighth overall pick.
Became a good player.
He's had an okay career.
He started out okay, and then he was good, and then I remember talking on the radio about him or CJ.
Nuggets could use him right now.
They could, yeah, that's true. Stanley Johnson from Arizona, remember that? Eighth overall pick in 2015.
I wasn't a big Stanley Johnson.
Henry Ellison. Ellinson from Marquette. I don't even remember him, 2016. Mm-hmm. Luke Kennard, 12th overall pick from Duke.
Good rotational player.
A dude who I can't even pronounce his name, 15th overall pick in 2019. Killian Hayes in 2020. And then they finally landed Kate Cunningham.
Hayes isn't even with them anymore.
Ivy, Osir Thompson, and Ron Hollander.
Yeah, their last few picks.
They finally have figured it out. It's just funny when you ask, how did they get into this spot? Well, that's about 10 years of missing on first-round draft picks.
So they've got Duren. Ivy was having a good season until he broke his leg. That's the underrated part, is they're missing Ivy.
They didn't even have him, yeah.
They got Kate Cunningham. I don't really know where I'm at on Ron Holland. His numbers aren't amazing, but he plays with a lot of FU energy.
He also seems like one of those just super young, like, he's going to take a little bit
of
time.
He's really raw.
Yeah.
Beef Stewart is just chip on the shoulder, want to fight you every night. They've had their last few picks. All those other picks you named, could you tell me who was in charge of making those picks? And then tell me, where is he now? Because he just got hired.
Yep. He got hired somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, oh. You mentioned his name the other day.
Joe Dumars. Joe Dumars.
You thought he was still running Detroit.
I just assumed he did. He won titles there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was an NBA champion for the Detroit Pistons.
I still think the Knicks can win this series. I love Tom Thibodeau complaining that Brunson's not getting the same whistle as Kate Cunningham.
Oh, God. His like, fast break, I'm going to stop on a dime when you're behind me thing drives me nuts. There's a lot of NBA players that do stuff like that.
Chris Paul did that very well.
All the time. Yeah. I feel you right on my hip, and I'm going to stop, and then you're going to run into me because you're chasing me full speed, and, got to call
a foul. The Knicks better get one in Detroit because they have two games off between their next two games. So they play Thursday, and then they play Sunday because they look...
We're only going to be a game four on Sunday. It's Tuesday.
Well, next Tuesday will be game five.
Next Tuesday, well, no, it won't, because they're playing Sunday, so they probably won't play again until Wednesday.
No, then
Wednesday.
They play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday the following week.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Think about this. The week from right now, only game five.
We're still going to be talking about this series, because nobody can technically win it.
Thibodeau team. He's not playing a bench. They're not getting anything off
their
bench.
Who do you want him to play?
Well, exactly, but the starters there are looking gassed now come the fourth quarter. Cat couldn't even get a shot up in the
campaign
fourth quarter.
Campaign was the hero in game one. Absolute zeros registered except for a turnover.
So it's a typical Tom Thibodeau team where he just grinded them out in the regular season, and they don't seem to have that.
I mean, you want P.J. Tucker getting minutes? That's the hard part they got. They just don't have anybody.
You know, given everything they traded for Bridges, kind of started smelling their own stuff a little too hard after one good year.
I would think so, yeah.
Like, Brunson takes that great team-friendly deal. Okay. The five picks, I mean, if I tell you a year ago that those assets could be used towards a Giannis
this summer,
I mean, you're going to look back and go, well, I'm glad we got Villanova.
We got the Villanova boys together.
We got Villanova Light here.
Keep doing those AT&T commercials.
Yeah.
It's good for business.
Josh Hart, 2-6 in 40 minutes.
Yeah, he's a good role player, but that when you're relying on him to be more of an offensive guy, Bridges is the biggest disappointment. When you trade five first-round picks for a guy, you have to be a star in order for that trade to work out. And he's a fine player. He's a decent player. I don't know if he's a number one or number two option on a title team.
I'm gonna ask you very quickly, we'll go to second hour here. Yep. Do we want the Pistons? Do we like the Pistons being
good? I'm rooting
for
the Pistons to win. I am.
Or were we used to them being a bottom feeder, and now this is weird to us?
I'm okay with Bing Bong going to the second round. Just the MSG atmosphere, you know, the fans outside of the arena yelling and screaming. It'd be kind of funny for Detroit to come out of nowhere, not win a playoff game for 17 years, bounce them in the first round. That would be pretty funny.
Who would have had that on the bingo card at the
start of the year? You know who New York's going to lose to?
In round one?
Bing Bong, you're gone. Here come the Pistons. Cade Cunningham's knocking your ass out.
Loaded second hour. We'll get to that Nugget Clipper game. That was a great game, too. We'll talk about that. And the Blazers had some misfortune happen for them. Loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.